Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Happy to Interrupt. I'm here with my friend Singa.
What's up?
He's an artist, creative, born in LA, raised in Germany, and here we're just going to talk about some generational healing and his new single, Malibu Magic, which is coming out on April 5th.
Yeah, you know I had to get that promotion in there.
Yeah, of course.
We're going to talk about some juicy stuff. Yeah, I can't wait.
I'm so happy you're here today.
I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah.
I'm so blessed to be a guest on your amazing podcast.
Tell me more about your single that you're releasing soon.
Oh man, I'm so excited. It just feels like everything has been leading up to this moment. I'm actually releasing it on my birthday. I'm gonna turn 20 on Friday. So I feel like I wanted to give something back. Like instead of asking for things for my birthday, I just wanted to share my journey with the world and whoever wants to receive. So yeah, my single is coming out. It's called Malibu Magic, and that's what it is, you know?
That's awesome, because I know like you moved kind of to LA to help like boost your music career and like try things out here. What's been like the best experience you've had since you came to LA?
The weather.
Yeah, it's certainly better than Germany, right?
It's way better than Germany, yeah. But like that's for sure one of the reasons. But another reason is just like the environment is just so I feel like it's very supportive for artists, but it's challenging at the same time, because everyone is like, go get it, but you still gotta have to, you have the support, but you still have to do the work though.
Right.
Like, people are like trying to see different things. Like there in Germany is very much, I'm not trying to hate on Germany. I love the culture there, and like my experience there was amazing as well. But I just felt like it got too small for me. Like I needed that, I needed the competition to be more challenging. Let me put it that way, yeah.
Yeah, like you kind of felt like, in Germany like a big fish in like a small pond,
because I wasn't living in Berlin or like any of the major cities. So for me it was either move to Berlin, which I'm probably still going to do eventually, but or is like go back to where I came from, and that's Los Angeles. Like this is where my roots are at, so I feel like I really had to dive into that more before I can expand. Yeah,
I feel like being in LA, like one of the best things is just like everybody, I feel like in some way can like define themselves as a creative, you know, like there's so many different artists out here and they're all trying to, you know, do something new and like unique, and everybody's hungry for that, like
exactly.
Recognition. And but I feel like it's like a double-edged sword, you
for
know.
Sure. That's why I say it's supportive, but it's also challenging, and the same, like the same things that make it supportive are also make it challenging. But it's cool because like competition fuels the creativity, and not, you don't necessarily have to compare yourself to other people as an artist, but for me it just happens naturally, and I just had to find a healthy way to deal with that, yeah.
I like how you say, you know, it's inevitable that we're going to compare ourselves to people in, like, our same industry who we admire, like, we aspire to be like. But it's also important that you have that, like, your own self-love and, like, you appreciate, like, where you came from, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
For me, much of my musical journey, and that's also part of my spiritual journey, we're going to get into that more later, but, like, very connected for me. And a part of that, especially now with the single I'm releasing, it really feels like I'm trying to separate who I am from outside influences. Like, this is the mainstream, this is pop culture, society, whatever. That's a part of me too. It's a part of who I am, because I'm growing up in that environment, but separating that from my essence and like from what's me essentially. Like I've been making music since I was 6 years old, or like even before that. My mom always tells the story where I used to drum like in her belly or whatever, like just like when she was in at concerts, or like drum circles.
I was wilding out.
So, but that being said, it's just like I've been blessed because I was homeschooled. I had a lot of time to develop my artistry through that. But it's just it accumulates and it just builds up this massive ego that you have to deal with at the end of the day. And that's what the song is, Malibu Magic. It's just like me coming to terms with that. And like I said, it's about like defining what that is, your ego identity, and then reconciling that with whatever is going on around you, like with pop culture, or how you can integrate into society in a healthy way.
I think we need to separate ourselves from like identifying, you know, building our identity over what we consume, like with pop culture and like music. It's a very toxic like industry, you know, like there's all this stuff coming out around like Diddy and like,
oh yeah, for sure, you know, it's, and I've been on that toxic, like honestly, yeah. when I moved out to LA, that was a major thing I had to deal with, because I've been educating myself about what's actually going on, what I'm getting myself into or not, like no Diddy, I'm not, you know, trying to but it's just good to know, like to know about the industry you're trying to get into. Yeah,
that's what's up. And that sounds like, you know, spirituality has been like very important for you to have. Like, do you have your own spiritual practice that you do?
It's always developing. Yeah. I feel like everyone kind of has to find their own spiritual practice. And for me, music has been a big part of it. Like, you know, hip hop is a spiritual practice for me. We're gonna get into more like generational trauma and healing and all of that, and I feel like hip-hop is a vessel for that, like people of color have been using it as an outlet to speak about what's going on in their environment, and it allows you to deal with emotions in a non-violent way, and like or it could just be party music also, like, you know?
Yeah, it doesn't always have to be like some, you know, deep thing. And like,
yeah, for sure. But like whatever it is, it's music is always very spiritual to me. And it's a good reflection of what's going on inside of you. Like you just start writing or jamming or whatever, and sometimes I'm surprised, like, wait, did I just say that? Did that just come out of me? Yeah. Like, okay.
Wait, was I holding that in? Like, yeah. Do you ever find when you're creating, like, you just come out with something, you're like, wow, like, that was something that I'd been holding in for a while, you know? And it just, like, comes out easier through music.
Oh, yeah, for sure, for sure. Music, and then capoeira is another one for sure. I mean, we can talk about that a little bit, because I know you know about it.
Yeah, we both do capoeira, and
but maybe people out there have no idea what it is, so
yeah, that's true. Honestly, like, it's a martial art, and I started it like a little bit over a year ago, and at first it did come from like a place of kind of feeling a bit like hurt, you know, from my experiences like doing other sports. You know, like I was always a part of team sports, I was always a part of like volleyball and like basketball, and now I just came from basketball and I realized I was trash at it.
So, me too, so
yeah.
And people be like,
black card revoked.
Exactly.
No, but that's truly, I was really feeling like, dang, like I feel like without sports and like without, you know, these activities and a team, like who am I to like other people, you know? But yeah, like, I mean, I always thought like, oh, capoeira seems like a very individual like sport.
Interesting.
But that changed for me over time. And I realized like the connection with your partner.
Yeah.
Capoeira is not, it was for self-defense like in the past, but now it's kind of evolved to be more of a performance between you and the other person. And that's when I started to see it more as like a team.
Yeah, like exactly. Effort. And the whole environment is a part of that. Like you have, just to give a quick rundown for people that have no idea what we're talking about, it's like a martial art from an African martial art from Brazil, originally from Africa, but when during the slave trade it got the Africans, they were brought to Brazil, and this was kind of their outlet, their way of dealing with trauma and like still having a place where they can be themselves and like celebrate and so a community is a big part of it. Like even you're talking about the two people in the middle of the circle, because that's how we practice. Like there's a circle of people and two people go in the middle and they do this dance fight. It's like a lot of acrobatics sometimes, and it's very connected to music also. So that's how why I'm so invested in it, is because I'm naturally like a very rhythm oriented person. Like I love music, and this is the only martial art I know where music is such a big part of the way people move.
It's really integrated.
Yeah, it's integrated. And so you have the bateria, you have the band that's playing. it's they're creating the vibe, and then you have all the other people that are clapping and singing, and that that contributes to the energy. So it's actually not only the people doing the performance, it's everyone is a part of that when you're in that circle. So it's very healing.
It is healing. I remember your maestro is talking about how, you know, the kids that he works with, like when he goes to Brazil, like they're used to fighting in the street, like actually fighting, you know, other kids. But you go to Capoeira and like you see a different form of that same fighting, but it's like the basis is built on respect for the other person.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I'm not going to hurt you. Like, that's not my intent. Mm-hmm. If you get hurt, my intent is to teach you, like, how to better, you know, respond.
Exactly.
And, like, defend yourself. And that just goes into how, like, our trauma is stored within the body. Mm. And if we transform it, like, take anger, you know?
Mm-hmm.
If you transform, like, anger, some people, they experience trauma.
Yeah.
And they identify with that anger, right? Yeah. So they just start being angry at people in their actual life. They start, like, you know, lashing out at people who are trying to help them. And that's because, like, that's the way that their trauma wants to express itself, through that anger.
Mm-hmm.
But if we express anger through different ways, for example, capoeira, or some people, they do extreme sports, they lift weights, or whatever different outlet, then that anger can become something productive.
Yeah. I mean, I agree totally with what you're saying. And so that's why I made the connection between hip hop and capoeira, because both of it is black art, black culture.
Mm-hmm.
Capoeira is like way older than hip hop, but I can see so many parallels. Sorry, this is my second language. So I might butcher, but it's a way of exactly dealing with anger, so you don't have to project it onto other people.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, hip-hop is kind of like a controversial subject for me, because I feel like a lot in rap you see a lot of the same, like, type of violence being, like, transferred through, like, ideas.
Mm.
I feel like the idea of, like, I in order to get women, like, I have to treat them a certain way, or like it kind of,
yeah, that's the toxic part.
And I feel like for some instances, like, even though they're not explicitly, like, they may not be doing those things to women in, like, their actual life, just the fact that that idea of, like, oh, you need to treat women like shit, or like you need to get money to feel valid as a man, is still transferred on to the younger audiences.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, there are problems with the culture for sure.
Mm-hmm.
We can talk about that all day, but I don't know. I always try to focus on the positive and just not participate in that, you know. But to what you said earlier about generational trauma and like how it stays in your body and your, like, your whole system with your mind and whatnot, for me, I feel like it's about separating what's inside from what's outside. Like, once you go on your spiritual journey, you realize that there's a lot going on that's, like, not on the surface, but and people tend to project whatever's going on inside of them onto people in the outside, and that's how violence happens. And I feel like you just have to separate that sometimes and create an awareness of your trauma and, like, your triggers, and then that creates compassion, because you realize at the end of the day, people are going through similar stuff, like,
yeah,
we all have different backgrounds and like different DNA even and all of that. Doesn't matter though, at the end of the day the struggles are so similar, and once you realize that, it's like it creates so much compassion, and then you can have conversations where you're like on the same page instead of projecting your pain and then triggering other people's pain. You know,
like what I'm hearing from that is like the key is to be able to understand others. Like first you got to understand yourself, like understand.
That's the conclusion I came to. Mm-hmm. And again, everyone has their own unique spiritual journey, so this might not be the answer for everyone. It's just for myself.
Yeah. It might not be the answer for everyone.
For
like,
sure.
That's exactly.
That's also.
Right.
I feel like I have to give that disclaimer right now, because I like to talk in like absolute terms from my perspective, but everything is subjective at the end of the day. So.
No, sometimes I feel like when I'm talking, like, you know, like I'm interested a lot in like the psychology, what it does to somebody living in America.
Mm.
I feel like it's so different. You know, like the psychological impact it can have on somebody living in a kind of like hyper, you know, race focused society. And like when I talk about that, I'm like, I'm not trying to put down like the other parts of the world's like their struggles,
mm-hmm.
you know, but it's obviously like it's a unique situation.
Yeah.
And, you know, it I feel like it's somewhat of a privileged position to be able to take that time and like, you know, all the enlightened people, you don't see no monk working a 9-to-5, like,
oh, yeah,
you don't see a monk being an Uber driver, right? Like,
sure.
it's a definitely privilege to be able to
like
become enlightened that,
and I don't
that
take
way.
That for granted at all. Like I get to dedicate a lot of time to my spiritual practice, including music and capoeira and this other thing called living history that I'm very much into. It's like
talk more about that.
It's like reconstruction of the past in order to learn about people's mindset and the society from ages ago. Like you could look at the Middle Ages in Europe, or you could look at Africa in the ancient Egyptian period, or and those are very broad terms. Usually you would narrow it down to like a decade or like a 20-year period, and you would really go deep diving in the culture, the items people use in everyday life, and I reconstruct those things. Like clothing, for instance, tells you a lot about values in a society, and it really opened my mind to what you're saying about different perspectives coming out of the culture that you live in.
Mm-hmm.
Like all of a sudden, you're confronted with perspectives from like 800 years ago that we don't even think about today, but then we realize what's going on today politically is like so similar sometimes.
Right.
So yeah, that's another passion of me, and I'm trying to connect that to the movement with capoeira.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, like that and music for sure is like what I'm very much into.
That is so cool. I want to ask, like, what do you think we can learn from just taking a look back at history? Because they always, like, there's a saying, you know, history repeats itself.
Yeah, for sure. And that's so true.
Mm-hmm.
It really depends on what period you're looking at. You can learn from everything.
Mm.
Right now I'm very into, like, the prehistoric period. I'm talking about...
Not the dinosaurs.
No.
That
would be wild.
They was out here polyamorous.
Yeah.
They was out here giving women the right to vote. Like,
yeah,
damn, we messed up.
No, for sure. But even just like ancient societies, I feel like, so this is controversial, y'all.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm ready.
I feel like culture started way earlier than we usually give credit to humans for.
Mm.
Like,
what do you mean by that?
You know, there's this whole thing about all of the ancient structures all around the world, the pyramids, being like way older than they tell us. You know, like whatever that means. But like, I've been very interested in those periods, even before ancient Egypt. Like, where did ancient Egypt come from? They didn't just sprang out of nothing and just like started building pyramids.
Right.
You know, there is like ancient knowledge that can be uncovered. So that leads back to the knowledge that's in our DNA and like in our bodies, just through the experience of our ancestors.
I mean, it all comes down to like, what are the narratives that are trying to be enforced here? Like,
oh yeah, for sure.
If we portray like the Egyptians in like film and like media as like being looking a certain way and like, you know, thinking certain ideas and stuff, what is that saying about what does the society that we live in today, what do they want us to think about Egyptians?
Oh yeah, for sure. We don't even have to go that far back in history. I'm not gonna get into that right now, but I'm just gonna imply like, you don't have to go that far back to find certain narratives that are enforced versus other narratives that are kind of kept on the low. You know, and for me it's very important to always look at all sides before I come to a conclusion, like a decision.
Right. I remember, like, you know, I feel like it starts from when you're young, and I know, like, you weren't in the public school system, but it's very much, like, it starts when you're young, like, when everything needs to be, like, simplified, and because they think, like, that's the only way kids are going to understand, like, history is if it's made simple. So I remember, literally, we were taught, like, how the first Thanksgiving went, and the story is, oh, like, the Native Americans, they helped the pilgrims, like, survive this terrible winter, and then they had Thanksgiving, and, like, basically all was peaceful, you know? And, like, we would dress up in, like, feather hats and, like, hats and, like, parade around the school, like, yay, Thanksgiving! I love
That's
Thanksgiving!
That's very American.
Nah, y'all don't do that.
Nah.
Y'all are, like, weird. Like, if you came to our schools, everybody has to say the Pledge of Allegiance, right?
Damn.
Like, when first in the morning, I mean, you would, like...
That tells you something. That is cool. Like, I fuck with... Are we allowed to curse on this podcast?
Yeah.
I was like... no, like, patriotism is cool and all that, but you gotta be educated. You can't be, like, weird about it.
Yeah, no.
For sure, for sure.
Yeah, but... yeah, like what I was saying, it all starts when you're young, when, like, adults feel like they have to simplify history for you, and instead, like, that just made me think, oh, like, they're cool with Thanksgiving, like, Native Americans, they love this holiday. And then as I grew up, I was like, oh shoot,
there's
like,
something more there.
Yeah.
It's not the whole story. Yeah, for sure. I mean, growing up in a white family as a person of color, I definitely had to experience that. Like, I never viewed myself as any different from my brothers, for instance. But then I just noticed that some things would just trigger me that wouldn't trigger them. And it wasn't like I was trying to be triggered. It was just facts. Like, and then you got to deal with it. And that's the first time, like, when you're growing up, you don't really realize that. You don't think about it that much. But as I grew older, I was like, wait, there is something that's different about me. Like, even if it's not in my essence, people perceive me as different because I look different.
And you could feel that from, like, even if people weren't saying anything.
Yeah.
Like, you could feel that from.
And that's where we're getting into, like, generational trauma. I realized that I have different baggage than my brothers, even though we're in the same family.
Yeah.
Like, just because of what's in my DNA, there's different things that I have to deal with, like triggers and stuff. But I also believe in free will, and you get to work through that in a lifetime. Like, I don't feel like anything is written in stone, you know.
Yeah,
also
you have to, you know,
like, yeah,
we can't think that, like, we can't break patterns.
Yeah, for sure.
And is there a, like, I'm also, like, mixed race, and the, you know, growing up, I did, like, I think I did notice that, oh, like, my family's different, when, like, you know, kids are, like, surprised that my mom, like, she was coming to pick me up from school, and, like, you know, my friends didn't believe that she was my mom because she was white. And it's also having to do with like gender as well, because like I love my dad, but it's not the same, like, you know, connecting with your dad over like blackness as like another black woman, you know, like y'all also go through different experiences that all like not go through. So
for sure,
it's definitely very different.
Yeah, but like I said, at the end of the day, so many struggles are similar. Like, we can all relate to pain, and it's not like we shouldn't go around saying, "Oh, my ethnicity has gone through way more."
Oppression Olympics.
Exactly. Like, let's not start that. Like, let's not even.
No.
You know, because that's a never-ending conversation.
I know, and. It is never ending, and like I enjoy like having those conversations like with you know like other people of color, right? Like what like what relating what we've all gone through, but we have to admit that it's different. There's like different levels.
Oh yeah, for sure. But I also feel like one thing that people get wrong about like generational trauma, especially in our generation, is like we don't have to work through it all in just us, like, because this has been accumulating for hundreds, maybe even thousands of years, and we're out here saying like, oh, this is
our, we're out here thinking we can like break slave trauma,
like,
where their
on.
Families are literally separated.
I'm not saying don't do your work. We gotta do our work, but we cannot create more stress doing that, because that's counterproductive. Then we're adding to the trauma if we're stressed out about getting rid of the trauma.
Exactly.
And I observe that in so many people our age. We're like, damn, humanity done really fucked up. We gotta do something now. And like, it's like this pressure there, you know?
No, that's what, Malcolm X was like. He was like, we need our own country, our own society, fully black society.
You had to say that.
Yeah, no, that was completely like important to have those perspectives.
Yeah,
but it's
sure.
also like, you know, if this is the way that I can fully heal myself, then I'm not going to be able to survive. Like, I can't just be like, oh, I'm going to move somewhere where I never have to interact with white people again, because y'all all trigger me.
Well, that's not working through the trauma, though. That's like, that's like going, you know, kind of like, I'm not trying to discredit it, because everyone has to do what they have to do, but that's kind of like you're running away from it, you know? You're just going to not be around white people, like, damn, okay. Good luck with
Say
that.
Say goodbye to the rest of your family.
I mean,
sorry, mom. Sorry, dad. I can't come back for Christmas.
That's what I'm saying. Is like, we gotta find the similarities, and actually, there's so much trauma also on my mom's side of the family. What they had to go through after the war and stuff like that. There's a lot there also, and I noticed when I. Last year I started, or maybe 2 years ago, I started my journey of like reconnecting with my African heritage, because my dad's Maasai. He was from Kenya. He's like not with us anymore, but he was a tribesman, and my mom is German. So there's a lot of history there between those particular cultures. If you look into like the Berlin Conference, for people who don't know, they literally like divided up Africa in the 1880s, I think it was. And yeah, I always thought Germany wasn't that much into colonialism until I found out they literally hosted the party for that to happen. Like,
and you say there's like a historical site like in Berlin where they held that?
Yep. Well, it's not actually, it's just a placard on a wall. The house doesn't even exist anymore, but my friend was telling me about it. I've never actually seen it myself, but all I'm trying to say is like, when I dove into my Kenyan, my Maasai ancestry from East Africa, something was telling me, and I'm paraphrasing, like, we're left out. And that was like my we feel left out. That was like my mom's side of the ancestry. I was like, oh, there's actually stuff there to unpack also, you know?
Yeah, they're like, pick me, choose me.
So I went to Slovakia where they fled from, because after the war, all of the people from German descent, they had to leave the regions in Eastern Europe that were not Germany anymore. So they got like replaced. So there's a lot of trauma there also. That's what I'm saying. It's like, it's not like one, every humanity has always gone through stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not one, let me say the word, there's not one race that's like exempt from that, you know.
Some parts of your trauma, I feel like, feel easier to access than others.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How do you, wait, give me your perspective on that. How would you?
I guess, like, the, for me, it's like the less that I know about, like, one side of my trauma, like, the more I want to find out, and the easier it feels like for me to kind of take that step, in a sense. Because I'm talking, like, about my grandpa, who he died before I was born. But I feel really connected to, like, his experiences, because as he was growing up, he faced a lot of discrimination from, because he came from Jalisco, Mexico, to, you know, start a family here. And, like, you know, he was literally, like, as a child, like, when he grew up, he was literally kicked out of public pools because of his race. And I feel it in my mom, because she's always trying to connect with, like, that part of her, because he died when she was young, but because of the time that he grew up in, like, he just didn't teach her Spanish, and, like, kind of wanted to protect her by not, like, involving her in, like, his culture as much.
Interesting.
So, yeah, like, I mean, that feels, like, very, I guess that feels easier for me to access, because it's kind of, like, not my trauma alone to bear.
Mm-hmm.
It's also, like, my mom's. And in some ways, it's also my grandma's, because she had to see him, like, go through that.
Well, I feel like you're very understanding, you know. Circumstances, sometimes they lead people to make decisions that they think are in someone's best interest. But then as you move down the generations, exactly the things that your granddad didn't want to address are the things that, like, two generations down the line is going to be extra important to address it.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that's how sometimes generational trauma works. It's one generation gets the kind of the pass, and then the next generation has to deal with it.
Yeah. That's an interesting perspective. Yeah, I won't say, like, you know, not everybody has to be fully healed. Like, that goes into a lot of things about people feel like to be in a relationship, or, like, you know, they have to be fully healed. Like, that isn't true at all.
No. Oh my
That's
God.
So not true.
Yeah, let's not even, like, yeah, let's not act like we're, like, holy or anything. You know, everyone has their stuff. We're all going through things.
Mm-hmm.
And you still get to be a part of society, especially after COVID. I know people right now, they were like, oh, he said COVID. Like,
oh, COVID. No.
That's triggering. But, like, we have to have conversations. We can't stay in our bubble and, like, be like, oh, I know I'm not perfect. No one is perfect.
Right.
You know, we still can be around each other and, like, try our best to be there for other people. And that's what goes back to what I talked about earlier, but just developing compassion and, like, the capacity to love.
Someday the COVID, like, I'm traumatized by COVID. Someday it has to go, y'all.
No, but that's going to take a while. I'm not going to
lie. I know, but
that's,
like,
not going to be
someday,
soon.
Like, we can't. I catch myself. I'm like, yeah, guys, sorry I can't come out. You know, the COVID, like,
right.
Got flashbacks. Like, someday we need to figure out a way to heal from that, because it's brought a lot of people into, like, this. Like, I saw this on Instagram, like, this this young girl, and she made a post, like, oh, you know, the post is like, why aren't you going out anymore, you know, why don't you have any friends? And she's like, because I'm grinding. And she, like,
good
shows
for her.
She shows, like, videos of her watching, like, Andrew Tate videos.
That's,
and then,
not grinding,
like,
girl, I don't know what you what you're
and then
on.
She's, like, doing, like, her algebra homework,
right.
And stuff. I'm like, girl, if you don't go play with some Legos, go outside.
Wait, how
go
old
ride
is
a
she?
Bike. She's 11.
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's this grind set. This grinding culture is, like,
kinda,
so harmful.
Yeah. It's harmful. I feel like our generation, though, we're like going fully against that sometimes. We're like, nah, we ain't finna do all
there,
that.
There's two sides. There's two sides to everything.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if that's your lifestyle, if that's what keeps you going, go get the bag. But like, if it's not healthy, because you'll let me say this. I've been grinding a lot in my teens to get where I'm at. And after a while, you just gotta realize that is affecting you.
Yeah.
Even if you don't want to realize that, it's like, just sit down, actually feel, and then you'll know if you can keep going at that speed.
Because I know I listened to some of, like, you know, when you show me your older music, like, it's incredible. Like, I gotta say, it's incredible how much passion and not only passion but just skill and talent that you had at such a young age. And when you worked hard to get on the reality TV show you were on, Dying Song, right?
Yeah, what did you learn from me?
And like, you were a finalist in that, and like, COVID unfortunately stopped like the filming short. How did you deal with like that like disappointment, that initial like resentment?
I feel like I just had to get back to what it's about, like about focusing on creative goals rather than trying to make it out there, you know. That's why I came out here, not to blow up or anything, just to be an artist again.
Wow. And just be an artist again.
Yeah, exactly, because I feel like that was really, I took that from myself by pressuring myself to be in that show, be a finalist, and like appeal to the mainstream. So I really had to get away from that. I made so many projects that I won't ever release,
because
they're very trippy, and they were just helping me to detach from the ideas I had in my head about what it means to be a rapper, or like what it means to be a musician.
Sounds like you've redefined what creative success means for you.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, it's supposed to be creative success, and that for me is when I feel happy with the song. And that's that. Everything else comes after. Other people may feel something when they listen to that song, that's great, but that's not gonna be my number one intention anymore, you know.
Yeah, because you feel like, you know, I think like going into the mainstream like that quickly, do you think maybe you would have felt like you would have to sacrifice your creativity in order to like keep being in that space?
Yeah, because people want to press you in a mold, you know, especially with when you have my skin color, you know, it's very easy to put labels on that and put you in a box. But that's very toxic growing up. If you experience that at 15 years old, 16 years old, that may stick with you for a while. So I'm glad I realized that, and I'm like, let me actually figure out who I am. You know, and that goes back to what I talked about earlier about separating what's going on inside of you from what's going on around you. In a way.
That's powerful stuff.
Yeah, and then reintegrating what you found. Then you have something to give. You have something to offer now, because you have something unique.
Yeah, you're not just taking from, like, you know, like something empty, like trying to create something out of nothingness. And I feel like that's what happens when you go into, you know, things like that, where like you're hearing people's criticisms, you're hearing people's feedback, but you don't know who you are yourself yet.
Yeah, it's
so
like
you're so easily moldable.
It's about balancing. For me, it's about balancing what I know about myself. Like, sometimes people criticize something and I'm like, cool, that's exactly what I wanted. Because like I said, I'm very inspired by, I don't know if I said that actually, but about Malibu Magic, I'm like very inspired by pop culture and putting my own twist on it. So we're so oversaturated, honestly. I'm like, I want to find something that I can still contribute to this oversaturated market, that's music. So I take pop culture, put my twist on it, and people may point that out as something that sticks out to them positively or negatively.
Yeah.
If it's in a form of criticism, I have to know where the line is between this is intentional because I put my essence in there, you may not like it, but then also being open to grow and be like, okay, that's valid. I can learn from what you just told me.
Ooh, yeah, that's something that, I'm be honest, like, I need to learn as well. Mm. I always felt like, you know, I'm like a sensitive person, and criticism can be very hard for me to take. Like, even though I know it's coming from like a very loving place, you know, it's just like, it takes a bit for me to be able to trust that person.
Oh yeah, for sure. They have to be competent. Take their criticism. Also, the way it's communicated is very important.
Mm-hmm.
If it's someone that's super confident in their field and they know what they're doing, but they're just communicating it in a way that's not nurturing, it's very hard to take that criticism well.
Yeah, even if it's someone like Kanye, you know? Like,
oh my God.
they're like criticizing your work and they're like, you know, or let me not. but even if someone, you know, famous is like, you're criticizing your work, but they just do it in a very unkind way, then that's also,
maybe they don't want you coming for them, you know?
Maybe yeah, just maybe like that's a good sign, you know? They're like, hey, give this to me. Let me. This is so bad, I don't want you to release it or have exactly. it at all.
Or like, if a producer tells you, oh, you should do this and do that, I can do it for you, pay me. Like, that's a red flag. Uh-huh. If you're just criticizing me on something that you can help me with, okay, cool, I might think about it, but I might decide that that's not from a true, like, an honest place, you know?
Uh-huh.
It really depends.
Yeah, because people forget, because, like, the internet, like, you can give criticism on anybody, and, like,
oh, yeah.
Especially when people are not asking for criticism, that's when they come in the hardest.
For sure.
You know, people forget that you're also allowed to not take it if, like, you don't feel like it's helpful to you.
Yeah, for sure. You have to know your yourself and, like, be comfortable in defending that also.
Mm-hmm. You gosh, know. Like, social media is so annoying.
Oh my God. Like, I feel creatives. It. Yeah, I feel it. It's very discouraging. I mean, I'm just used to dropping stuff. I've been, like, releasing things for way too long. So now I look back and I'm like, I shouldn't have released that necessarily. But, you know? But
too late now, yeah.
It helps you deal with criticism, honestly.
Uh-huh.
Because, yeah. It's something we all have to learn, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I like that, you know, in a sense, anyone can go viral, like, because of social media. Like, before, you would have had to have your music on the radio, and then that's how people heard it. But now, like, there's so many subcultures of people that,
for sure.
that will like your stuff, so.
Yeah, but you still have to try it out. So go ahead and stream my stuff on Spotify. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, it's very good. You should check it out
it
if you're listening
very
to
good.
This. Because my single is coming out on April 5th, so probably when you're listening to this, it's already out. It's called Malibu Magic. If not, go like Valley Girl or Alien. I have so many bangers, y'all.
You do.
And
you just
it.
Keep this man, he's working so hard. You just keep releasing such good stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know. Mm-hmm. That's all I came on here for. That's
yeah.
it. No.
Yeah.
I just wanted to promote myself.
Yeah, he just came here, you know, to promote his stuff. We ended up having just a casual, deep conversation.
Right. I hope no one got triggered, by the way, because we went into some deep stuff, and you can always be happy to interrupt, like, before I get myself canceled. You know?
Yeah.
I don't want to start no controversy.
That's what this podcast is all about, you know. I
cool.
love having cool conversations. These conversations are also healing for me as well. Just be able to talk openly about, you know, all this stuff that, like, we're going through.
Honestly.
You know, as a collective as well. So,
yeah, for sure. I'm very blessed to be here, like I said.
Yeah.
And it's always a vibe hanging out with you, so.
Thank you so much for coming on, Singa. Like, I really enjoyed this conversation. I hope you get to come back soon.
Me too.
Or I'll make sure of that.
Yeah. And follow me on Instagram at Singa_TheAtlantean. That's Singa_TheAtlantean.
Okay. Go listen to his single out on April 5th, Malibu Magic. And peace out.